This is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Cancers are a leading cause of death worldwide. Nearly 40% of us are diagnosed with cancer at some point in our lives, and cancer care cost close to $150 billion in 2017. Of course, we also spend billions on cancer research to develop new ways to better detect and treat cancers. In 2018, the FDA approved 18 new cancer drugs and okayed the expanded use of 10 more. So what might we expect in 2019? Elaine Martis is professor of pediatrics and co-executive director of the Institute for Genomic Medicine at Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio. She's also president-elect of the American Association for Cancer Research. Elaine, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Heather. It's nice to be here.
I was really shocked by this statistic, and this is federal government statistics, that 38% of men and women are diagnosed at some point in their lives with some form of cancer. That's just shocking to me.
It is a shocking statistic, and it's, you know, the detection of cancer has been on the increase as our methods for detecting cancer have improved over time, and the regimens for physical, you know, evaluation of people as they age have improved as well in terms of not only detecting cancers, but detecting cancers early.
Cancer, though, is not just one disease. I mean, it's more like a category of diseases.
Right.
How useful is it to talk about cancer as just one monolithic entity?
It's really a mistake, and one that I think has been emphasized by large-scale genomic discoveries that have been going on for the past 8 to 10 years, where we've been using the newest and most comprehensive methods in the research setting to really explore all of the different changes that go on in the transition from a normal cell to a cancer cell. And in that, you know, very, very large set of projects, much of which has been funded by the American taxpayer, as well as taxpayers in other countries, what we've been able to discern is that cancer is a highly personalized disease. Each patient, in essence, develops cancer in myriad and different ways by altering, you know, specific genes that are important to how cells regulate their own growth and development.
And one of the kind of holy grails of cancer research has been the idea of using our own immune systems to fight these highly personalized diseases, these cancers, when things go wrong. Both personalized medicine and immune therapies were a big theme in 2018. How much progress are we making getting, you know, these really personalized treatments and also these treatments that mobilize our own immune system actually into the clinic and being used to treat people?
You know, there's been really pretty good progress. Of course, many of the public are probably aware that the Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine this year went to two pioneers, basic scientists who really began to explore these fundamental interactions between cancer cells and our immune systems. Certainly, there have been now multiple immunotherapeutic drugs that have been approved by the FDA and are currently being used in clinical care of cancer patients. And there is more to come. Really, one of the newest areas is in terms of combining the genomic evaluation of cancer, not only to look for events that are driving the development of cancer, but also to evaluate whether there might be novel proteins, the result of mutation, essentially, that if used to stimulate the body's defenses against those very novel proteins, can produce very specific immune responses, and in particular, immune responses that have low numbers of severe side effects because the cancer is what's being very specifically targeted by the immune system, not the cancer and some normal cells. So I think it's a very exciting time. Some of these newer approaches to vaccination are in early phase clinical trials, but some are already advancing to phase two clinical trials. So I think the progress has been incredibly rapid.
I'm talking with Elaine Martis of the American Association for Cancer Research and Nationwide Children's Hospital about what we might expect in terms of cancer research and treatments coming in 2019. And you've already started to touch on that, this idea of actually trying to find things about a person's cancer that's unique that could actually be used to kind of vaccinate them against their cancer, get their immune system working on that. But another area that was highlighted in the kind of forecast that the American Association for Cancer Research put out for this year was trying to get a better handle on some of the adverse effects that these immune therapies can have on patients. I mean, as I said, they've been kind of hailed as a holy grail, and they, in many cases, are showing to be very effective, but can also have some pretty strong adverse effects. So what do we expect to see in the coming year in terms of trying to get a better handle on those?
I think that the severe adverse effects are one of the things that we really have to be very vigilant about as we transition from what we call preclinical models, so testing new drugs and therapeutic approaches on model organisms like mice in the lab, to actually opening up clinical trials where brave cancer patients are sort of the first to venture into these therapeutic, you know, trials. In some ways, we learn as much or more in these early phase one trials about severe adverse events. Certainly, that increasing expertise for our clinicians and oncologists who are treating patients on these trials is critically important, because it not only points out what the severe adverse events might be, but also gives clear indications about how they might be approached from a treatment standpoint. As I mentioned a minute ago, as the therapies become more personalized and more cancer cell specific, however, what we've seen, at least in early trials, is that the severe events are diminished, because really the focus of the therapeutic impact is on the cancer cells, almost to exclusion of any other cell type in the body.
Well, Elaine Martis, precision medicine, this idea of tailoring medicine or treatments to an individual and their specific disease is one of your areas of expertise. And you've said that this year might be a big year for targeting hard-to-treat cancers in particular. What do you expect to see in that area this year?
Well, I think over time what we've been able to develop out is a sense that there are cancers such as pancreas cancer and glioblastoma multiforme in particular that are, you know, sort of the worst outcome cancers. Those are solid tumors. There are also some blood tumors, for example, acute myeloid leukemia, where we've done a significant amount of work, that also portend a very poor outcome for many but not all patients. And so really, I think what the trend has been now is that as we've been able to develop targeted therapies that are very specific for the most common cancers, such as lung cancer and colorectal cancer, for example, the attention now is really turning to these hard targets. And it's a mix of different approaches that are being tried clinically. There is a preponderance of immunotherapeutic approaches and clinical trials that are really focusing on pancreas and GBM in particular, but also very other innovative approaches, sometimes that are a mixture of two, such as targeted therapy plus immunotherapy, for example.
I mean, it's of course encouraging that that researchers and clinicians are turning more focus and attention and bringing more to bear on some of these really hard to treat cancers. But there's another really systemic challenge in the detection and treatment of cancer, and that's some of these disparities that we see between different populations, in particular racial and socioeconomic disparities in outcomes, both with detection of cancer and the treatment of cancer.
Right.
And that's one thing that 2019 might be a big year for addressing some of those disparities. In what ways?
Well, you know, at the AACR, we're really focused on cancer health disparities in many ways, you know, hosting meetings, encouraging researchers, and from an outreach standpoint, trying to make outreach efforts to these communities. Almost to a fault, the biggest part of the problem is just what I mentioned at the beginning of the interview, and namely the access to technologies that permit early detection. And so what you're seeing in many of these cancer health disparity situations is just because of the lack of access to health care, you have a corresponding lack of early detection. And the earlier we can detect cancers, the more successfully they can be treated. I'm not saying that's as simple as that, but if we could just get some traction into getting access to early detection in these populations, it could take us a very long way. I think the other thing that, you know, AACR is also really trying to address, as are others, is the ability to study these cancers. So I mentioned earlier these large-scale public projects. You know, most of the people who were enrolled in those projects were from European-American backgrounds, so the minority representation is exceedingly small, and this gives us a gap in our knowledge about what causes cancers in minority populations, what the underlying susceptibilities are to those cancers, and namely also what environmental impacts might be also leading to cancers that we just can't measure because we don't have the data to do that just yet. So I think a broad-based appeal to minority cancer patients really is needed, but I think we also need to, you know, come up with creative and current novel ways to do that outreach and to get that message distributed.
And are there concrete initiatives or, things that you expect to see in the near future to address some of those disparities?
We are doing a number of things. One is a very specific project that's been pioneered by past President Mike Caligiuri, which is called 2020 by 2020. And that's essentially a genomics-based effort, the kind of effort I was just describing, that specifically has the AACR and other entities working with Morehouse University and other historically black universities that also service through medical centers these minority populations, and really trying to encourage 2020 cancer patients, with ancestry that comes from different minority populations, to consent on to have their cancer studied from a genomic perspective and characterized, really trying to increase that knowledge base that I was talking about that's so important for really, you know, getting at the root of what causes these cancers, what drives them, and how different approaches might be crafted as a result to treat them successfully.
Elaine Martis, before I let you go, I have to ask about, kind of the politics and funding issues with regard to cancer research.
Sure.
I mean, this has typically been an area of bipartisan support. Of course, cancer affects both Democrats and Republicans. But how are you feeling in this current political environment about, the prospects for continued levels of funding for this important cancer research?
You know, I continue to be optimistic, and certainly in terms of what's been put on the table by the Congress and in terms of funding, this optimism, I think, has been well rewarded. We also have a very key appointment in terms of Dr. Ned Sharpless, who's currently heading the National Cancer Institute. You know, I know Ned personally. He's a fantastic physician scientist, and I think he's really instituting some very important and novel programs now at the NCI that will take advantage of these very generous dollars that have been voted on by Congress. So I think our optimism is going to continue, and hopefully, you know, in addition to being optimistic, these programs will continue to provide the basic and foundational discoveries that we need to continue the progress that we've already seen against cancer that you and I have been talking about today.
Have there been any repercussions of the government shutdown at this point to cancer research, either at the National Cancer Institute itself or at, universities and hospitals around the country?
It's a little bit early to say just yet, but certainly the longer this goes on, the more grant-based, government-based funding will be impacted just in terms of the ability to, buy equipment, buy the basic reagents that we need to do our research and to study and help patients.
Elaine Martis is professor of pediatrics and co-executive director of the Institute for Genomic Medicine at Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio, and also president-elect of the American Association for Cancer Research. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thanks, Heather.